This is Slashdot Review for Friday, November 26, 2004. My name's Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute holiday summary of highlights from recent contributions to Slashdot. Let's see, turkey for lunch, turkey for dinner, then today, turkey for breakfast, tasty turkey sandwich for lunch, turkey for dinner. Just grateful to avoid them all. Today's music from GarageBand.com artist Jenna Dre from Miami, Florida. Now on to the headlines. One of the lead stories from Slashdot comes from the Certain People Are Nervous department. The reason they're nervous is that the blog torrent beta has been released. Tatuya writes that Downhill Battle has released the first public preview of Blog Torrent, a simplified BitTorrent package that they developed because, quote, making it easy to blog large video files means that people can share their home movies the same way they share their photos or writings. Features include integrated torrent creation and upload, a simple non-MySQL installation, and an RSS feed for every tracker. Current Windows only on the client side, but Mac and Linux versions are in the works. If you're interested in the history of iPodding, you'd be interested in the brief history of the iPod. AntDude writes to Slashdot that Max Slash mentioned a brief article on the history of the iPod. It all started April 23, 2001, with the release of one of the most important products from Apple in its history. A link to the full article is found on Slashdot. Has everybody gone fishing? Zastrosi writes that according to the Anti-Phishing Working Group, phishing sites rose from 543 sites in September to 1,142 sites in October. As you know, phishing is the practice of making sites that look and act like popular sites such as banks in order to steal personal information from customers. Gartner Group reports that phishing scams cost banks and credit card companies $10.2 billion. Well, it's not all doom and gloom. The UK music industry is seeing record sales. Aramaka writes that despite the claims of gloom and doom from the BPI, which is the UK equivalent of the RIAA, the BBC is reporting that UK record companies are celebrating their best ever year in album sales with a record of 237 million sold in the past 12 months to September. The British Phonographic Industry, or BPI, trade body said albums by the likes of Keane and The Streets had helped drive a 3% rise compared with last year. And it also said that sales of single tracks were up thanks to the availability of legal download services. Looks like music sales will continue to climb if the customers can get something that they like. The article also discusses adding music downloads to the charts. They've cornered the market on the Commodore 64. Kodak writes that the Commodore 64 direct-to-TV is on sale at QVC. QVC bought all available units, about 250,000 of them. So for now, this is the only place you can get them. It's a full Commodore 64 and a joystick form factor with 30 games included, meaning you can hack this sucker and add a keyboard or other IEC peripherals like a disk drive. The full basic ROM is included. You can buy one now and impress your friends. By the way, this was developed by Jerry Ellsworth, the engineer responsible for the C1. Slashdot mentioned the development of this earlier this year. If you're visiting Slashdot, there's a question that you can answer. It relates to the entire deal of Machinima. What are the best tools for Machinima? Wrinkle Chert is asking. As a former creative writing major with a huge interest in film, he's been thinking about trying to get into Machinima, basically using game engines to make movies. Probably the most famous use of it for the Slashdot crowd right now is Red vs. Blue, which makes use of Halo. But until recently, most of their options have involved first-person shooter game engines, which would create a huge investment in time to create non-first-person shooter content for non-first-person shooter genre movies. Now that Sims 2 is here with its video recording feature and the promise of more contemporary realism in the expansion packs, and with Pete Molyneux's The Movies coming out in 2005, is it possible for an amateur writer to make the Machinima movies of his or her dreams? If so, what would the best tools be and what machine would you need? Most importantly, would any single game engine help you to create your own Citizen Kane? If you've got some answers, go to ask.slashdot.org and add your content and comments. And a shout out to Patrick Ritchie at his blog, The Power of One, which kind of surprised me as I mentally linked it to the movie, and especially the killer soundtrack from that movie, which I'll try and link on the written blog. just envious of Patrick's list of notables that he got to speak with at BloggerCon. The other shout out is to an honest blogger. An honest blogger has been found. Just Google Joe's rarely updated blog, where Joe confesses, "Watch out for my grammar, watch out for my spelling, and I must warn you, I do ramble." How would you envision a desktop fabricator? MKL writes in that yesterday I was fantasizing about a generator of matter, not a laser plotter for carving 3D objects, but a device that will assemble any given objects from its base, out of atoms. I was thinking about a device that can find its place under the roofs of all the people working on PCs all over the world. So as MKL was fantasizing about it at work, soon as he gets home, what does he see in the Wired News newsletter? Any product, any shape, any size, manufactured on your desktop. The future is the fabricator. Interesting article from The Economist, as The Economist tackles complexity in IT. YFNET writes to Slashdot that in recent weeks, The Economist has run a number of articles addressing the ever-increasing complexity of software systems. The magazine, with typical economist wisdom, casts an eye towards past human endeavors for lessons on how today's IT industry can succeed in dealing with complexity. As part of last month's extensive survey of information technology, the magazine offers insight on the limits of real-world metaphors, the perils of managing a rat's nest of obsolescent systems, and the need for disappearing technology. Hitting newsstands just today is an overview of development models for increasingly large and unwieldy software projects. Amongst other things, the article compares the open-source model to Microsoft's efforts using a quasi-open license. It also describes the agile programming movement and its potential to keep even the most gigantic of projects under control. Fraser Keene writes in that Universe Today has a story about the Martian Grasshopper aircraft proposal that has been sent to NASA. Robert Zubrin, the president of the Mars Society, is behind the effort. It uses solar power to liquefy carbon dioxide and then use it as a propellant to take off, fly hundreds of kilometers above the surface of Mars like an airplane, and then land vertically again. There's another resource for incident forensic on Windows. It comes from Nopix Helix. Dayan Nock writes, after finding Windows forensics and incident recovery while looking around for forensic tools, he also found the Helix incident response and forensics tool. It's a customized version of Nopix, which you can use in an online or offline style. Put it in when Windows is running, and you can retrieve a stack of useful information and send it to a network share. Or boot up a suspect system with the CD and get access to useful forensic tools like SleuthKit. A failed upgrade to Windows XP has wiped out the computer systems at a UK government agency. Lurker McLurker writes that the BBC and the Register both report that the UK government's Department for Work and Pensions attempted to upgrade 7 PCs from Windows 2000 to Windows XP and ended up with blue screen of death on over 60,000 machines. The writer also wonders if the National Health Service is regretting awarding Microsoft a £500 million contract. Lycos is declaring war on spam servers. Psychotex writes that the Register's posted a story about a new screensaver from Lycos that targets known spam servers with traffic in order to raise their bandwidth costs and hopefully price them out of the game. They've taken the information from a spam cop and then verified it by hand. Lycos states this is not a distributed denial of service, as Lycos monitors the site's responsiveness and throttles back when the site starts to falter. The screensaver is available on links from Slashdot for Mac OS X, Mac OS 9, and Windows, although you might need to lie about what country you're from. Reader John Grant Cumming writes that as part of preparing for the MIT Spam Conference, I've put together a survey on what people are experiencing out there with spam, what they're doing about it, and followed it up with a test of different views of an inbox filled with spam and ham. You can take the test on a link from Slashdot and be a part of the survey results in January. You remember our lead story was from the Certain People Are Nervous department. Connect the dots and we'll see what they're nervous about. Blackfire writes in, why is a TV executive so agitated about online pirates? Because he, like most media honchos, has seen the scary numbers that indicate that the next big craze in illegal file sharing is not music, it's not movies, but it's television shows. Blackfire says that, frankly, I'm amazed that movies caught on before TV, since there's so much more TV, and the files tend to be smaller than movies. You can rewind to the beginning and listen to the description about the BitTorrent beta, which has just been released, and you see why they should be afraid. Very afraid. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Friday, November the 26th. My name's Andy McCaskey, and I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader, and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Slashdot Review audio is published Monday through Friday and occasionally on Sunday. Today's music is from GarageBand.com artist Jenna Dre from Miami, Florida. Gotta love the bagpipes at the beginning. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Sunday night.
Outside looking in, I feel